All right, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to be preaching for Eric tonight. He wasn't feeling well, and so we're going to go back to the book of Acts, and rather than trying to pick up where he's teaching, I just thought I would give a little historical background and some things that he didn't touch on as he passed through. This book, it's just there's so much to be seen, and so we'll kind of do a little fill-in type of message tonight. In the first chapter, now Luke wrote the book of Luke, and he wrote the Acts of the Apostles, and so if we count the words in Luke and count the words in Acts, Luke wrote more of the New Testament than any other writer. You would think it would be Paul because he wrote more books, but it's actually Luke. And I like the way it opens. It says, "The former treatise," referring to the Gospel of Luke, "have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." Now, Theophilus. Theos is God. Philos is would be a lover or a companion, a friend. You know, it's not the highest form of love. So probably his name is Friend of God. That's who we are. Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. So we can take the book of Acts, the book of Luke, really all of the Word of God. And it was written to the friends of God. The natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. So I want to look at some of the time frames that we have in the book of Acts. And Eric taught this, and Jesus showed himself alive after his passion. And we see the fact that Peter did something before the Spirit of God was given. You know, the Old Testament saints had the Spirit of God with them. And in this age, we were promised, and Jesus said, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you be endowed or endued with power." You know, the power that we're endued with is the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God. Look at the 14th chapter of John, and we get a marvelous picture there. When we think about all that Jesus promised and did, and it's pretty incredible for us as just individuals who at a point in time heard the Word of God proclaimed and the Spirit of God then quickened it or made it alive so that he gave us the faith to believe. The natural man, the Scripture says, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Now, in the book of John, Jesus speaks of events that happen, or John speaks of events that happen 6 days before Passover. Now, that's important, because if we go back to the 23rd or the 16th chapter of Deuteronomy, turn back there, we'll find that some very important things happened in the nation of Israel, and they happen at times, you know, they have happened and they will happen at times when if the Jews do what they're commanded to do, there will be a maximum number of Jews in Jerusalem. Now, notice what it says in verse 16 of this 16th chapter. And there's there's details of each of these feasts. We have the Passover, we have the Feast of Weeks, and we have Tabernacles. Then we have the statement, verse 16, three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles. Now if we think about those, okay, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, what do we call that? We call it Passover. Go back to the 23rd chapter of Leviticus. Okay? So in Leviticus 23, so the Jews had to be there three times in a year. So this means at some of the most important events, scripturally speaking, for the nation of Israel and for the world for that matter, the Jews had to be in Jerusalem to witness them. Two of them have already been fulfilled. The third one will be fulfilled at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And those Jews, when they see the Lord Jesus Christ come again and his feet touch upon the Mount of Olives, they're going to look on him whom they pierced, and they're going to believe and be saved. So, very important feast. So let's read this 23rd chapter of Leviticus. And we looked at this when we were studying the book of Luke. It's a very important portion of Scripture. And sadly, it's a portion of Scripture that it seems that people just ignore. That's why I'm doing a little bit of a connecting the dots. Eric's message has been wonderful. I enjoy listening to him preach. And he's coming along very nicely, But sometimes, we don't see everything all at once. Or we don't see the importance of everything all at once. So since I'm doing a fill-in message tonight, I'll fill in some of the blanks. Now, first of all, in verse 1 of the 23rd chapter, and I think we'll probably end up reading the greater part of this chapter. But remember now, we saw in Deuteronomy that the Jews had to be in Jerusalem for, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is Passover. And then they had to be there for the Feast of Weeks, which we call Pentecost. And they have to be there for the Feast of the Day of Atonement. Okay? So, major events have happened and will happen on those three feasts. First of all, now it says, we're just talking about the Sabbath. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations. Well, what's a convocation? We use that term with respect to when we all get together to get our diplomas when we graduate from high school, a convocation. It's an assemblage. Okay? And so the Jews had to assemble together as a nation in these particular points in time. So let's look at them. It says, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. Now, if you think about that, we are living during the 6 days. And the seventh day, the trumpet shall sound, as we drawn a parallel over in the book of Genesis. Man was created, and back in the image of God, prophetically speaking, he was created in the image of God on the sixth day, and he will be back in the image of God on the sixth day when the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord. And when we see him, we shall be like him. Now, there you know, we still have a resemblance. We didn't lose all of the aspects, so that when Jesus came into the world, he had a human body like our human body. The difference between his human body and our human body was the blood that flowed in his veins came from his Father. And the blood that flows in our veins comes from our Father, who ultimately is Adam. And when Adam sinned, the scripture says, the wages of not sin, the sin, is death. It's a singular sin. God warned Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for the day you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Now, that's the way it's translated, but if we could read it in Hebrew, that says, dying, thou shalt die. Now, whether you realize or not, the moment a baby is born, or actually the moment that there's conception, that baby's alive. It's growing. We know it's alive because it is growing. If it wasn't growing, it wouldn't be alive. You know, same way when you plant a seed, you can put it in the ground, the plant doesn't come up, it wasn't germinated. But if a plant comes up, it had life the moment it sprouted. Okay? A big controversy because people in the age in which we live, they're scared to death, but they're afraid of the wrong things. You know, if we say we have it on our money, it's a national slogan. In God we trust. Would to God that were true. You know, if it were true, we wouldn't have all this nonsense going on, because we would understand that the powers that be are ordained of God. I don't care whether you're Republican or Democrat. You know, whoever gets elected, God saw that he got elected. So we're trying to, get rid of Trump and all that sort of thing. You know, rules of impeachment. But we're not doing it legally. You know, you can't speak for yourself. You can't have an attorney. That's a violation of everything that we have in our Constitution. But it shows that man is willing to destroy himself for his own will. And that's true in the natural world, and it's definitely true in the spiritual world. So the Jews had to keep the Sabbath. And so they worked 6 days, and on the seventh day you rest. Okay, and so then it says, and the seventh day in the Jewish week was Saturday, okay, not Sunday. Sunday was the first day of the week. All right, so 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation or an assembly. What was the seventh day's journey? You know, we read about it many times. It was the distance from the outside of the camp to the tabernacle and then back to where you dwelt, so that those that lived the furthest from the tabernacle, which was in the midst of the camp, could travel that distance into the camp, have a holy assembly. And if you think I preach long, they would listen to the priest read the scriptures to them, because in those days everyone wasn't literate. And they would listen all day long. Okay? Well, I'm sure many of them went to sleep. The nation of Israel went to sleep. But, they would listen to the word of God proclaimed. And they had heard it spoken orally before they ever said all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. You know, but then, after they heard the voice of God from the mount, they said, "Let not God speak with us anymore." It terrified them. You know, and there was fire and earthquakes and all kinds of things on that mountain, smoke, and It terrified the Jews, and so then God told them, okay, in the light of the law, let's go back to Exodus chapter 20 for just a moment. In the 20th chapter of Exodus, we have the law given, and after they finish reading the law, and all the people in verse 18 saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. So just the voice of God from that mountain terrified them. Yeah. And rightfully so. They said, oh, the Lord has spoken, we will do. But there was no chance that they could do it because they were all born dead in trespasses and sin. Okay. And so, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you. Even before they kept the law, he said, okay, I'm going to rain bread from heaven. 6 days a week. And on the sixth day, gather enough for the seventh day. So the Sabbath was actually instituted for Israel before the giving of the law. But they were to rest on the seventh day. And what did they do? Well, those that gathered more than they should have gathered, it just bred worms and decayed. And those that tried to keep some for the next day, not trusting that the Lord would send bread every day, they had also bred worms. But on the sixth day, if they gathered it, they were to gather twice as much so that they wouldn't have to gather on the Sabbath day. Okay. And what did they do? They went on the Sabbath day looking for manna too. So it's total unbelief in the simplest of matters. And he said, in the matter of the manna, I've done this to prove you. But despite the fact that they had failed just in daily bread, they still said, all the Lord has spoken, we will do. It's almost insane sometimes. And then God speaks to them how that they can make an altar of earth, dirt cheap, so to speak, and sacrifice thereon, which pictures the sacrifice of Christ. So the Sabbath was a holy gathering for the Jews. And then in verse 4 of the 23rd of chapter of Leviticus, these are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations or assemblies or gatherings, which he shall proclaim in their season in the 14th day of the first month. Now it's translated at evening. Okay. If we could read it in Hebrew, between the evenings. So during the day, they were to take the lamb. They were to choose it on the 10th day of the month. They were to inspect it. And they did this of Jesus as he made his way into Jerusalem and tried to find fault with him and ask him all kinds of trick questions, trying to trip him up. And then ultimately Pilate said, I find no fault in this just man. So it says, these are the feast of the Lord, even holy assemblies, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the month, between the evenings, is the Lord's Passover. So, at sunset on the 14th, till sunset on the 15th, was called the Passover. Okay? And we saw that. So we saw that Jesus was, he came to Bethany, or not to Jericho, actually, and then to Bethany. He came to Jericho 6 days before Passover. That would be on the ninth day of the month. He arrived there. So by the time he had done all the things that he did in Jericho and got to Bethany, It was sunset. See? So then that's what? John uses Roman time, so he keeps time like we do. So later on he says, on the next day. Well, that's using Roman time. But if he were using Jewish time, as the other three gospel writers did, you know, at sunset, it was the next day. And they had an evening, a meal for him. It was the Sabbath. And after the meal, then Mary anointed Jesus. And Judas got upset because he was a thief. He kept the bag. That is, he was the treasurer. You know, a little filching going on. And he rebuked him and said, why was not this ointment sold and given to the poor? And John tells us it wasn't that he cared for the poor, but he had the bag and was a thief. It just gave him opportunities to purloin money for himself. Yeah. He didn't care for the poor at all. See? And what did Jesus answer? Against the day of my death has she done this. Well, by that time, we're at the night of the 10th. When was the lamb to be selected? On the 10th. See? So when we go through Scripture and we do what we're told to do, study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, there isn't anything in the word of God for filler. You know, we may read it and read over the top of it and may never see the significance. It may not be for our age, you know. Remember Daniel prophesied things, and he actually got sick trying to understand what it was he prophesied. God had him right, and the Lord comforted him and said, close the book, Daniel. It's not for your time. But he prophesied of the four world kingdoms that would be, you know, and let's think about them, you know. We have Babylon first, and then Persia, and then after Persia, Greece, and after Greece, Rome. But we have to count those kingdoms with respect to God's clock, not man's clock. Okay? Because the Roman Empire politically disappeared just before the end of the, well, it would be during the 6th century, I guess. You know, it began to collapse politically. But from, according to the Roman Catholics, because they count all the way back to Peter, but really the Roman Empire began under Constantine when he saw a vision in the air, I think it's In Hoc Sigma Vincis, if I remember correctly. Never studied Latin, but by this sign conquer. And so, you know, we had the Crusades and all that type of thing. And, going out. And basically, this is what the Roman Church did. As they made conquest, they forced people into the water. If they came out alive, didn't drown, then they were Catholics. You know. And we see it. I like to watch some shows on television about Alaska, and you'll see Native Alaskans pass a totem pole and cross themselves. Okay? Because what the Roman Church did, it assimilated whatever they believed and made it, you know, Christian. Okay? And so it was much easier to do assimilation than it was to stand for the truth. So then when we come to this one, we're talking about the feast of Passover. And he says, and on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread. So it's between the evenings, which is the 15th, but the lamb was sacrificed on the 14th. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. So the first day of unleavened bread was the Sabbath, and the seventh day of unleavened bread was the Sabbath, no matter what day of the week they fell on, because it was always on the 15th day of the month. Well, just like our calendar, even though the Jews used the lunar calendar, you're not going to have the 15th on the same day of the week every year. And that's where people have so much trouble deciphering the final week of the life of our Lord. Because the Sabbath was about to begin. And in their ignorance, they don't realize that every Passover was observed as a Sabbath. So yeah, and we're going to see it here in a moment, that you have to have a regular, you have the Passover, then you have a Saturday Sabbath, and then you count seven full Sabbaths. So 7 times 7 is 49, and the next day is the 50th day, which we call the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost. Okay? And this, according to what Eric has taught us in the second chapter of the book of Acts, was that they were to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power. Now, how many people would be in Jerusalem? Well, three times in a year, all the males had to be in Jerusalem. That is, all the devout males. Well, undoubtedly, they brought their families, too, And so there were lots of people in Jerusalem for the Feast of the Jews. So, and it's important that they're in Jerusalem for the Feast of the Jews. So now we're going to read about Pentecost. So he says that on the 15th day of the month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. So that's the Passover. In the first day you shall have an holy convocation, that is, a holy assembly. You shall do no servile work therein. So the Sabbath that was about to begin when Christ was crucified was not a Saturday Sabbath. It was the Passover. So, I spoke of it in my Christmas letter this year. Christ was crucified, he was taken on the 14th day of the month and examined and put to death on the 14th day of the month. And then they got his body and placed him in the tomb just as the Passover Sabbath began. So he was in the tomb Wednesday night, Wednesday day, Thursday night, Thursday day, Friday night, Friday day. And what happens at sunset? That's the beginning of Jewish Sunday. And he rose the first day of the week. Okay. So, what we do traditionally, and that's why this is so important, so much that is done traditionally denies truth. Okay. And we do it politically, and we do it religiously. That's why we draw comparisons. You can be anything you want to be, as far either religiously or politically. It doesn't mean that you're going to go to heaven because you worship any way you want, because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I don't want to embarrass him, but Eric told me, he confided with me, and he said, my dad used to think that you were, I've forgotten the term. In other words, that what I was saying, opinionated, that was the word, And you know what I said? I said, he's absolutely right. I'm opinionated because of the Word of God. Doesn't it make any difference what my opinion is, really? But it's the Word of God rightly divided that we as believers ought to be opinionated. Okay? And it's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. And you're absolutely right, Matt. I'm opinionated. but my opinions are, have come to me over studying the scriptures, from the time I was saved, over 60 years. You know, I was ordained in 1960, so 2020 in January, from my ordination till now, will be 20 years, but I was preaching before I was ordained. In fact, I've got a picture of the kids. They're all sitting on a log, got warm clothes on. That was taken in Springfield, Missouri. South of Missouri, we went to a town down there where I had to preach on Sunday. Been preaching for a long time. Okay. Now let's continue with this, because this is important, and it will put us in sync with what we read about Pentecost, and we're looking at Pentecost next. And so he says, "Ye shall do no servile work," ending in verse 8. So the Sabbath that was about to begin was the Sabbath of unleavened bread, or Passover. And so then, to count from then, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and ye shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits." Okay, now Christ was the first fruits. He was raised on, the first day of the week, "of your harvest unto the priest, and ye shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it, and ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf." So this is first fruits. So first fruits always was the day after the normal Saturday Sabbath, after the Passover Sabbath. So when was Christ raised from the dead? On the Feast of First Fruits. And we know that there were individuals that were raised with him. Christ the First Fruits, and then we read about the 144,000 in the book of the Revelation. They are also called the First Fruits unto the Lord. So those people that we saw the dead bodies in the grave, they were raised from the dead after Christ was raised from the dead, and they're all called First Fruits. And when the Lord ascended into heaven, he was caught up in the clouds. Well, I think the clouds were those saints clothed in perfect white righteousness, which looked like clouds as Jesus ascended into heaven. Now, when we have the first resurrection and we're raised, then at the end of the Great Tribulation period, we're going to come again to the earth with the Lord, and his feet are going to stand upon the Mount of Olives. It'll be at the time of the Day of Atonement, one of those feasts that the Jews had to be in Jerusalem for. So they had to be there for first fruits. They had to be there for Pentecost. And they have to be there for atonement. And atonement is when the nation of Israel is going to look on him whom they pierced. And I don't want to get bogged down in this, because I never will get back to the book of Acts if I do. Well, so then notice what he says. So first fruits, Christ was the first fruits. So that was the first day of the week, Sunday, when Christ was raised from the dead. "And ye shall bring your sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest." So who is the first fruits? Christ. Okay. And then there were others that were raised with him, and they are counted to be first fruits as well. So any harvest in any year is made up of three parts. Okay, first fruits, the main harvest. That's when the trumpets shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And then the gleanings. So the 144,000 after the Antichrist comes and deceives the world, then they're going to come to the earth and they're going to preach the gospel in Israel. And according to the 10th chapter of Matthew, they will not have gone over the cities of Israel until the Son of Man be come. So we read, I've forgotten which book it's in just now, But people are going to attach themselves to Jews during that period of time because they're going to say, we've heard that the Lord is with you. And if you want to be saved during the Great Tribulation period, if you're not saved now, you'll have to go to Jerusalem to hear the truth. That's the only place it's going to be preached, because in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus said to the 12, you know, and then he's projecting it on to the 12 times 12, or 144,000, ye shall not be gone over the cities of Jerusalem till the Son of Man be come. Well, that didn't happen in his first advent. That will happen in his second advent. Okay? So we have things that are written together that aren't fulfilled together. Okay? And so he says, that's the first fruits. And ye shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. So after the Passover, we had the Passover Sabbath and then the regular Saturday Sabbath. And ye shall offer that day when you wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord, and the meat or meal offering is thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, or for making unleavened bread, and it has to be made with salt. And it doesn't mention the water back in Leviticus, but you have to have water to be able to make it into dough, you know, and it speaks of Christ, the water of life. Okay. And the meal they're offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor, and the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of an hin. And ye shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green ears until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. Okay, and now we get to Pentecost. And this, Eric has already taught what happened on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God came to indwell the believers that make up the church. You know, and he was given on the day of Pentecost. So now we're going to read how we get to Pentecost and why it's called the Feast of Weeks. That says, and ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath. So here's the way it works. You have the Passover Sabbath, and then after the Passover Sabbath, a regular Saturday Sabbath, and then you count seven full Sabbaths from that one. So 7 times 7 is 49, and the next day is 50. So Pentecost, what's Pente? Means 50. Okay? So it's always 50 days. You don't count from the Passover Sabbath. You count from the regular Sabbath following the Passover Sabbath. Okay. And these things are in the Word of God. And when we were teaching the book of Luke, it's amazing how people do not do what Paul told Timothy to do, to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly divided. We're putting the pieces of the puzzle in the right place so you get the right picture. Okay? That's what Eric does. That's what I do. And I've been doing it now for a long, long time. And I have to admit, sometimes when I am reading the scriptures, I see things that absolutely baffle me. I have no clue what they mean. And preaching the way that I do, I've been in the pulpit, preaching chapter upon chapter upon chapter, and knowing that a portion of Scripture is coming up that I don't know a thing about. And I've had the Lord right at that moment in time reveal to me what it's about. You know, we're told to preach the word. Yeah. And I remember Moses, he didn't want to be the spokesman. And God said, you know, Moses, I can't speak well. Well, your brother can, you know, that was Aaron. But when you read about all of the conflicts between Moses and Pharaoh, who's doing all the talking? Moses. And God said to him, "Who made your mouth?" I remember when Eric Griffin started preaching, and he had his notes, and he was well prepared, and he wanted to stick with his notes. But the Spirit of God was leading him somewhere else. And he'd go off a little, but he wanted to get back to his notes. And at first, it was a little hard for him. So I took him aside and I said, "Eric, whenever the Spirit of God is taking you somewhere, forget your notes and go." And he's done that very well ever since. And he's doing a marvelous job. And I appreciate the time he spends studying and the time he spends preaching to us. Okay. So you count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that that you brought the sheep of the wave offerings, that's on first fruits. Seven Sabbaths shall be complete. That's 7 times 7 is 49. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meal offering unto the Lord. Okay. So it kind of speaks of our remembering the Lord with the communion. And ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be bacon. How? With leaven. Why with leaven? Because this isn't about the Lord. This is about the church, which is in between the first advent of the Lord represented by Passover and the second advent of the Lord represented by trumpets. When the trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we shall be caught up together and meet the Lord in the air. And then after that, of course, we have the great tribulation period. And then finally, Christ is going to come at the end of that and create a new heaven or rule and reign for 1,000 years. I'm sorry, AOC, the world's not going to end. It'll be 10 years now. She's been saying that for, it was 12 years when she first started saying it. And people in this country are fooled by that nonsense. Now, we're going to destroy the world. There's going to be a cataclysm if we don't get rid of fossil fuels. Well, if you get rid of fossil fuels, I guarantee you, you're going to starve to death. How are you going to get your products to market? They don't seem to think about that. We've got an awful lot of nonsense that's preached. I want to get back at least to the day of Pentecost and touch on that for just a minute. So then we have these, and ye shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock and 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord with their meal offering and their drink offering. Notice I changed meat to meal, even an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. So it was on that day of Pentecost then, and we'll go back to this in Acts, and this will kind of put things together so that when Eric preaches to you next time, you'll understand the sequence. They were to tarry in Jerusalem. And how long? Well, the Lord, he portrayed all of these things. Think about it. The 7 feasts of the Jews. Now, I'll go over them quickly because we've run out of time. The 7 feasts of the Jews. Okay. We have, the regular Saturday Sabbath. So the Lord's going to take care of everything in 7 periods of 1,000 years, which was portrayed to us in the recreation of the earth in Genesis. Okay. And we're getting down very close to the end of the last period of 6,000 years. Very close to the time of the coming of the Lord. And on that sixth day, then man was what? Created in God's image. And at the end of the sixth day, when the trumpet sounds, all of us who are redeemed, when we see him, we shall be what? Like him, for we shall see him as he is. You know, it's all there in allegorical form and in prophetic form and hidden in shadows and types. Now, back in Acts, I want to read this and close. So on the day of Pentecost, they were all assembled. So that's why there were so many people there. And that's why the early church grew very rapidly. All of the devout men in Israel, or wherever they were in the world, had to be in Jerusalem for the feast of Pentecost, and then they, which would put them there for the feast of first fruits, and then they go home during those 7 weeks. But they would have to be back again in Jerusalem for the feast of Pentecost. You know, it was required 3 times in a year. You've got to be there for Passover, for Pentecost, which is represented by the church age, and then the Day of Atonement. And on the Day of Atonement, that's when the Lord's feet are going to touch upon the Mount of Olives. And the Jews are going to look on him whom they pierced, and they're going to believe and be saved. And that will, so God has laid it all out so that the Jews will be in Jerusalem for the most important events in human history. I want to point out here in Acts, and then we'll close. And so in the second chapter, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, so you see how these feasts fit into God's prophetic plan. And he was teaching the Jews in shadows and types exactly what was going to take place. But they were ignorant of the prophetic aspects of these things. So there were many that believed, but there were many that were just caught up in tradition, like so many people are in the day in which we live. Jesus wasn't born on the 25th of December. Santa Claus and reindeer have nothing to do with the birth of our Lord. And the Easter Bunny. Why do we call it Easter? Because in the book of Acts, the Anglican translators of the Greek scriptures took the word for, I've got to think about it, the word for Passover, and they translated it, or they called it Easter because of Roman tradition. And you know why Easter was so popular? Here's how Easter came into being. The Roman church was basically doing things on a kind of a scriptural basis in many respects up until the time as they made their conquests. There were so many of these pagans that worshipped the goddess of spring. Her name was Aostra. There's all kinds of Ostara. There's all kinds of names for the goddess of spring. And it was such a popular feast, that the Roman church integrated it in, and so they changed it from they changed it from Passover. Pascha is the word in Acts for Passover. They changed it from Passover and put in Easter, which in no way is a transliteration of Pascha. And so that's why we have, and why the Easter Bunny and Easter eggs? Because she was the goddess of fertility. What does an egg represent? Fertility. See? And people do all of these crazy things. I wouldn't take these things away from kids. The Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, all that kind of thing. But they need to understand the truth, and just have fun. Okay? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for your wonderful love and goodness to us and for your grace. And we pray for Eric that you'll provide healing virtue in his body and that he'll be able to be back with us soon. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.